welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you guys with us today. And I have the one and only Dr. Ted Brower on my show today. This is such a privilege. I'm so excited to have him on here. How are you doing today?
Awesome. I'm doing great. It always takes me about a week to get past jet lag, and so I'm here now. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I want to report to you what's happened so far. We've been through several different countries. We've been through Germany. We've been through Austria, and we've been into Italy now. Germany's Germany. It's completely run over by Muslims and run over by immigrants. It's absolutely one of the most diverse ethnic groups of people now in the entire world. It's just basically not Germany anymore. They've lost their cultural identity. What I found in Europe, it really disturbs me greatly. Europe has lost its cultural identity, as I just mentioned. People here have become so discouraged, and the foreigners have come and have basically raped the people, raped the countries, and globalism is running amok, and the people in Europe feel helpless. Now, in Austria, and when we were in Munich, we had a Muslim gentleman who decided, you know, we have a car over here, so we asked to have the car valet park because the parking garages are horrible. And the guy simply refused to valet park the car. And he said the parking garage was full and he wouldn't be bothered with the car. And this is a Westin. It's not like, you know, a slummy hotel. And I said to him, I said, you know, dude, are you really not going to park the car? He goes, no, I'm not going to park it, man. You're probably going to park it on the street somewhere. Just like, are you kidding me? And but I couldn't even believe it. The attitude and the arrogance is just unreal here now with this unbridled immigration coming into the country. Then when we went down into Austria, we were out in the country, and it wasn't too bad there. I saw in Austria has much stricter, you know, immigration policies, and they're not giving the money away to these people that are coming in that Angela Merkel invited in. So they're not as bad. And then we went down from Austria, we drove down to Berchtesgaden on the way into Salzburg, and that's where basically Hitler was given his 50th birthday present. You were there with me one time, Austin. It's the house. This is a big, huge chalet on the mountain. It's called the Eagle's Nest. And there, at the Eagle's Nest, there were no Muslims. Okay, now it could be because it was the founding of the Nazi Party down there. I don't know. That's where they founded the Nazi Party. So maybe it's just a little bit too racist for them down there. I don't know, but I didn't see one Muslim. I mean, there were no. It was just all a bunch of white people running around. It's kind of strange. It's kind of Germany used to be, and so it was just strange that we were there in Berchtesgaden and it was like that. Of course, they still have Soldaten pictures up on the walls, you know, from World War II. So Soldaten are the soldiers. So it's an interesting place to visit. It's beautiful. It's one of the beautiful places I've ever been to in Europe that I've ever seen. It's just absolutely just gorgeous. And then we went back into another place in Salzburg that was really, really nice, Sheraton there. And that was the people. It was downtown on a garden, and it was real nice there too. And so I'm getting to use a whole bunch of my Starwood points. If you guys are wondering what to stay with Starwood hotels. And so it was a lot of fun. And then we drove down into Italy, and it was kind of interesting coming into Italy because the roads got really good after we left Austria, which I thought was a little bit odd. But it was a toll road, and so the toll roads are better maintained. Now, while I'm down here in Italy, we're staying at another Starwood hotel. It was interesting. I went to a place called the Murano Glass Factory today. And it's the website is Vivarini. I'll spell it for you. Vivarini. .it for Italy, Vivarini.it. And I actually found a person who would go on the record today, and I interviewed him down here, you know, right down here at this glass factory. And his name is Giovanni Grossi. And I told him I was going to use his name. He said, that's fine. He didn't care. And he wanted me to talk about what's happened to Italy, to the country he loves. What we don't see here in the United States, where we have our completely and totally bogus unemployment numbers, when we were saying we're, you know, at 7 or 8%, 5 or 6%, and we're actually over 20% of people who have fallen off the work rolls. In Germany, it's worse. I mean, in Italy, it's worse. The actual posted unemployment rate is approximately 12%, but the actual number is closer to 40%, Austin. It's crazy. Wow. Closer to 40% of the youth are unemployed, and 36% of the general workforce is unemployed. There are 2.7 million people who are actively looking for work, and 3 million more who have fallen off the unemployment rolls who still want a job. So it's really, really bad here. Apparently, as you get down forward towards Naples, Italy, the big industry now is ripping off tourists. They said if you're not with it, it gets stolen. It doesn't matter if it's your car, a camera, your suitcase, a bag. We were planning on going to Naples, and I've been reading about it, and I decided that that's just not something I want to do. And it just says you can't leave anything, and they it's warning you. It's just, I mean, just I found like 40 pages online of telling all these horror stories of people in Naples, Italy. So I'm just going to pass on Naples this trip, but I have no interest in going down there. But we went to the Murano Glass Factory, the Vivarnia.it, and I talked to him. I sat down, I interviewed him. He actually gave me paper and pencil to do the interview. And he says that basically what happened is immigrants are invading all of Italy. They're coming in from Africa. They're coming in from Asia. He says that no one has jobs in Italy anymore. He says you can't find jobs anymore. And of course he knows of the 36 to 40% of unemployment people there. And he says that the Chinese actually come in now, and they're just as bad, he said, as the Asians and the Africans and the Muslims. He said the Chinese they come in and they knock off all of the stuff that they have in Venice. They have, you know, they have the glass factories here. They've got all of the other things they do here. You know, just this, that's unique to Venice. Paintings that are from Venetian artists. I mean, all of this stuff you used to see. He said, now what's happened is everything's knocked off. Everything's copied. I asked him if he had everything on his website at his store. He said no. He goes, as soon as they post anything on the website, it shows up for a quarter of the price downtown 2 months later because it gets knocked off in China. And he said, it's awful. He said, here's the problem. He says, the Chinese, they come in and they start a business, and the government in Italy is so corrupt, they don't make them pay any tariffs or any taxes for 5 full years. So all the locals have to continue to pay the tariffs, continue to pay the taxes. They can't make any money because the Chinese don't have to do that, so they can cut everybody's pricing down. He says that they actually had 6th-generation artisans, people who have worked there for 100 years in the glass-blowing factories. He says, and they're being undercut by the fake imports. He said after the first 5 years, the Chinese company pays no taxes or any type of tariffs. They shut that factory down. They shut that whole plant. That whole thing gets shut down from China. They bankrupt it. They shut it down, and they open another one. So they have another 5 years of free stuff. So they never go past the 5 years. And he said that we have to elect Donald Trump. He says they want Donald Trump in Italy. They love Donald Trump. He says all of Europe loves Donald Trump. He says don't believe anything you read in the papers. He said Merkel's a blithering idiot. He said they love Donald Trump. He says that they do not want Hillary as president of the United States. And he said that the rapes are not that bad in Italy as they are in Germany. And so he went into detail, and he said that back before the European Union was forced upon Italy and none of the people got to vote for it, he said you could buy a really nice pair of men's leather shoes for about 100,000 lira, which is true. And that was about 50 bucks. The exchange rate in Italy used to be phenomenal. You could get all kinds of great deals in Italy on leather goods in particular. So about $50. He goes, now the same pair of shoes in the European Union are 150 euro. So he said the price has gone up 3 to 5 times due to the European Union and being incorporated into the European Union. He said it's destroyed the Italian economy and has basically forced the bulk of the population into poverty. He says the food costs are unbelievably high. The amount of antibiotics and stuff they're pouring into the food are unbelievably bad. He said they're bringing in all this junk out of China. The food's contaminated with melamine or it's outdated. And the food basically, you know, the toys that they're bringing in for their children are all contaminated with lead and it's poisoning the children. He said the frustration, and this is what I gathered. He didn't say this, but he said the frustration of the people is to the point of revolution. They want to leave the European Union. And by the way, this gentleman also knew about chemtrails and what was going on with that. So, by the way, the first 2 or 3 days that we were here, when we were in Stuttgart, I saw some chemtrails in Stuttgart. Not very many of them, but there were some. And then the further south I got toward Munich, we had a couple of really pretty blue days. And by the time I got to Salzburg, here comes the chemtrails again, and they've been hitting us ever since. And so the weather here is very, very unpredictable. You know, your mother did a story on Friday with you guys about how they had 4 inches of snow just like a week ago and covered everything in a 4-inch blanket of snow. I mean, there was still snow standing when we were there, and they had to bring the snow plows back out. And the entire Alp passes have been closed up again because of the snow. So the weather modification here is full tilt, full bore. But the economy here in Europe, especially in Italy, is absolutely horrible. Now, we're in Venice right now, so the economy here is doing really well because of tourism. But what's interesting on this front is that the people that are here are primarily Chinese. I mean, you see the people going by in the gondolas. It's 90% Chinese. You see the people shopping in the shops. It's 90% Chinese. And then, of course, you get all the cruise ships coming in, and then the whole street turns into this giant big clog. You can't even walk, so you have to wait until later on in the evening when all the cruise ships have packed back up and hauled off. So it's been an interesting trip, and I've learned a lot. But I have learned this. The Italian people have had enough. They are tired of this. They're tired of the European Union. They're tired of Angela Merkel. They're tired of being treated the way they've been treated, and they want a change. And they love Donald Trump, or at least the man I spoke to today loved Donald Trump. Giovanni did. And he said that we have to get him into office because he's the only one who's telling the truth. So apparently enough of the news and the internet news is coming across to people here that allows them to realize that, you know, it is what it is. But this Giovanni was absolutely wonderful. He was one of the nicest people I've ever spoken to in Italy. And the Italian people are pretty nice. I guess you have to stay away from Naples because of the gypsies. I mean, we were in Germany a few years ago. They tried to break into my car when I was driving to steal stuff. It happens in Germany, too. It's not just in Naples. But it's the open border policy, especially with the gypsies coming out of Romania. And they come in and they just steal stuff. And my mom, I remember, she couldn't stand the gypsies because of what they did in Germany during the 20s and the 30s. And, of course, that was one of the subgroups that Hitler rounded up, which I don't think he should have ever done that. That was crazy. But the truth of the matter is what he needed to do was have stricter border controls, and he didn't have that. And then he implemented them later on in his administration. But the border controls were pretty open in the beginning after the Versailles Treaty. So it's been an interesting experience, Austin, watching Europe basically lose its cultural identity. Because, you know, I've been coming here since 1977, the first time here with my father when I was like 21 years old. And so it's been interesting to see how much has changed in 40 years and how this whole thing has just kind of collapsed upon itself. Now, there was one Maypole celebration that we did see in Salzburg, and it was really pretty. We were driving back to the back country. Actually, my TomTom, the navigation in the car, rerouted us through a residential neighborhood. It was really kind of interesting. We were looking for the Sound of Music stuff that Sharon wanted to see. And what was interesting is that's where the Sound of Music was filmed back in 65. And it was so funny. They were having a huge Maypole celebration. And again, it was all white people because they were serving pork. Muslims hate pork, and so it was funny because they were all wearing lederhosen, and they were dressed in the traditional Bavarian, German, Austrian garb, and so that was really kind of unique to see that they were coming from all over, from miles away. They were walking, they were riding their bicycles, all wearing lederhosen, all wearing traditional garb. And so that was really kind of cool. So we really enjoyed seeing all that. So at least in some of the smaller areas, the smaller parts of the country, the culture identity, they're still struggling to maintain that. So what do you think about all that, Oz?
Well, that's interesting. That's definitely pretty crazy. I knew there was definitely more going on. We've seen it. You've seen it last year, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. I don't see how it can, like you said, with the open borders policy. But Steph, I'm glad we got you on the show today to get you some more information on there. One thing about Trump, you were saying, this is crazy now. I don't know if you guys watched his foreign policy speech last week, had access to it. I talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday, on Friday. And what's crazy now is the ADL, which is the Anti-Defamation League, is stating now that Trump needs to stop using the phrase America First because it's anti-Semitic.
Well, that used to be called the Anti-Jewish Defamation League, and they changed it just to the ADL because they didn't want people saying Jewish, because I guess that's anti-Semitic, and because here's what's so stupid about that. They're Jewish. Oh, God, what's wrong with that? Okay, they're Jewish, but they can't put the Anti-Jewish Defamation League anymore. But they're Jewish. The people who run and control the thing are Jewish, but you can't say that. They're trying to protect Jews, but no, I saw that, and now they're saying that Trump's an they're saying Trump's an anti-Semite. I mean, but that had to happen. I mean, everybody's an anti-Semite. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. You know, and I'm looking at the article right now. It says Trump needs to stop using the phrase "America first" because it's anti-Semitic. I thought the Jewish folks were living here too. The ADL press release shared today urging Trump to reconsider his use of the phrase "America first," saying it was used by so-called anti-Semites seeking to keep the nation out of World War II. The most noteworthy leader of America's First Committee was Charles Lindbergh. Oh yeah, Charles Lindbergh, they said he was a big anti-Semite too. The ADL said, who sympathized with the Nazis and whose rhetoric was characterized by anti-Semitism and offensive stereotypes. Incidentally, the hysterical Bloomberg columnist Eli Lake, we reported on yesterday, took almost the exact same angle in his column, saying Trump was using the term "America first" was reminiscent of the Nazi era. Guys, let me stop here for a second, okay? This is just, you know, he's not a Nazi, okay? He's not a Nazi. He's not an anti-Semite. He's just telling the truth. I guess you can't tell the truth anymore. You're going to be labeled a white supremacist, neo-Nazi, or an anti-Semite. I mean, you can't help the fact, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago when I was on the show last, that the banking systems are primarily controlled by the Jewish folks. And if you say something bad about what the banking system is doing, you're an anti-Semite. If you say something bad about what Hollywood is doing, you're an anti-Semite. Are you joking me? It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It has to do with people that are bad people in places of power and authority who are controlling the population of the planet. This is what it's all about. It's about Lucifer and Satanism. And again, I said this 2 weeks ago. I said 99% of the Jewish folks don't even know what's going on anymore than 99% of the white folks or anybody else. We've got this group of globalists that are out there doing all of this, you know, running things through the CIA, through the Catholic Church, through the Mafia, through the Bank of International Settlements, and they're the ones doing all this mess. The Bilderbergers, the Council of 300, we all know this. The CIA with their Satan groups they've got going on, trying to put us into an AI, pumping us full of more gelins and all the stuff they pump us full of even here in Italy. So guys, think about this for a second. Leave Trump alone. Now he's an anti-Semite because he said America first. That is so stupid that they would say something like that, Austin, but that's how I feel. What do you think, son?
Well, no, it was a total smear campaign. I even read part of the article on another website that they had written like a side piece to it, and it was just total anti-Trump propaganda. I mean, the thing about it is, if you even read that speech from 75 years ago from the group America First, they were all about America's interest, and he said that, you know, America's interest and those of Great Britain, Roosevelt, and certain Jewish leaders pushing for war are not one and the same. And their whole thing was that they did not want to get involved in a big, long, protracted world war over something that basically needed to be thought about in longer terms. And so there was nothing, the whole group wasn't even anti-Semitic at all. They can bring up all the nonsense they want about it. But that's pretty much what we've talked about now. If you don't agree with it, then, you know, you're a racist, or you're an anti-Semite, or, you know, or it's Bush's fault. It's one or the other, you know. We've talked about it and joked about it before, but that's exactly where it's gone now.
Let's go back to 1920. Let's go back to 1918, 1919 with the Versailles Treaty. The Versailles Treaty was pushed primarily through by the German Parliament, and it was being controlled primarily through Jewish interests in the banking sectors. This is just historical fact, and it could piss you off if I tell you that. It's just what happened, okay? And that infuriated Hitler because of what happened, because of the Jewish stuff that did all that. He hated that. There was already a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism in Europe in the early 1900s already. It's always been in Europe. It's always been here. But Hitler just, you know, got all bent out of shape about what had happened with the Versailles Treaty, because there were no wars, there was no fighting going on in Germany. It was all going on in France with Verdun in that area. It wasn't even inside Germany's borders. And then Germany agreed to an armistice. They were never defeated in World War I. And it was just a ceasefire. Just suddenly everybody stopped shooting each other, and the German military was disbanded. Well, then several weeks later, I don't remember the exact timeline, they decided to put together the Versailles Treaty. Well, the Germans didn't have any input into it. The Allies who were involved back then, Great Britain primarily and France, they put it all together and basically charged Germany with everything. And Germany wasn't even involved in the starting of World War I. It was the Archduke Ferdinand who was assassinated and came to the aid of their ally. So what happened is Germany got stuck with all these war reparations. Well, by that time, they finally had this Versailles Treaty. The German military had been disbanded, and the Weimar Republic was in place. And there was no way to bring the German military back online again, because some of them were ready to go back and fight again, just not to sign this Versailles Treaty. Then what happened is the international Jewish banking community, who it was, You can call them what you want to call them. That's who it was. Like the Rothschilds, that's who we're talking about. They hyperinflated the currency in the Weimar Republic, and they stayed ahead of the inflation curve and bought up all the industry. Exactly the same thing the international bankers have done now in the United States through their interlocking corporate directorships and through their stock options, stock purchases, buyouts, acquisitions, and mergers. Same exact thing they did to Germany. And then what happened is Hitler came in and started seizing all the assets that had been stolen from the German people, and a lot of those were the things that they had stolen because of this fake money they were putting up with the Versailles Treaty. This is what happened. My mom told me this. And so what Hitler did is Hitler said, okay, we're not going to let you guys do this anymore. We're going to nationalize your assets, and we're going to give the people the money back, and we're going to start putting it into the roads and bridges and rehiring the German population. And when they did that, the German people, the Jewish people, declared war on Hitler and declared war on his government. It was like in 1933. Most people don't even realize this. Look it up. And then so they started boycotting American goods into the United States. Hence, all these things are now being written about wanting to get us into World War II. And everybody was saying, no, we don't want to be in World War II. We just got out of World War I. It's not Germany's fault that this Versailles Treaty was done to them, because even Woodrow Wilson couldn't get it ratified through the Senate and the House of the United States. So that's what happened. That's why Hitler got so bent out of shape, you know, at the Jews, who were the bankers. And he said that if you listen to the Nuremberg rallies, I watched it one time on PBS. He said, if the international Jewish banking community insists on starting a war with us, we will have them all leave Europe. See, this is what people don't understand. You know, it's just all the stuff that you've been taught about what happens, not true. It's just not true. It's partial truth. It's all it is. And so what that's now they're trying to do the same thing with Trump. Now he's an anti-Semite. I'm sure after me talking tonight, I'm an anti-Semite now. And whether I want to be or not, it's just what's going to be sold. The only difference is I don't have a, you know, huge radio presence yet. And it's just this is what it is. That you can't say anything that's the truth. Even David Icke, they say now is an anti-Semite because he wrote that book, that book called Zionism. They dare not call its name. You know, everybody needs to read that. It was an article he wrote online. And so you've got to understand, guys, the money controls the world. You know, it makes it all run around. That's how it works. Money makes the world go around. And when the international bankers and the cartels started seizing control of the money through their Babylonian money magic in Europe in the 1700s with the Napoleonic Wars, that's where all of this mess started in Europe, and it got into the United States after that. And, you know, and they tried for over 100 years trying to put this central bank back into the United States after, you know, before until 1812. Andrew Jackson threw them out in 1832. I'm not trying to give you a history lesson here, but Lincoln was money martyr because he wouldn't put the Rothschild Bank back in America. It's probably the only thing he did right. And then it went all the way until 1913. This thing is a big conspiracy is what it is. It's real. And there's no things, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's conspiracy fact. This is what these guys have done. And so now, it's so funny. Trump went and he spoke to AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, which is one of the second most powerful lobbying group in the United States. In fact, several people have said who are in government that it should have its charter revoked and it should be looked at as a foreign corporation for Israel. And AIPAC, he spoke to him. I guess he didn't grovel enough, Austin. I guess he didn't grovel enough. The problem is nobody wants to talk about this stuff. I don't want to talk about it. I know you don't want to talk about it. The only reason I'm talking about it now is to try to say Trump's an anti-Semite. Trump is not an anti-Semite. You can't say anything to anybody about anything involving the Rothschild banking cartel, or you're classified as anti-Semite. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And then if you're Jewish and you say something about it, now you're a self-hater. God, that's the thing. And so if you're Jewish and you're upset about it, they call you a self-hater. And it's all about Zionism, political Zionism. It's all about the Scofield Bible. It's been an incredibly masterful, orchestrated plan using that Scofield Bible since the mid-1800s, promoting the rapture, promoting Zionism all the way through for 150, 60, 70 years now. It's brainwashed the population of the American public, you know, especially the Baptists. But, you know, the Baptists are interesting because there's tens of thousands of Baptist preachers in the South that are members of Masonic lodges. You heard that, right? You heard me, right? Masonic lodges. So, you know, you can say I'm anti-Masonic lodge. I am that. I am that. And you can say I'm anti-globalist. I am that. And you can say I'm anti-international banking cartels. I am that. You want to call me those things? I am all those things. If you want to call me, you know, anti big government, okay, I'm in. Good. But the rest of this stuff, just for talking about stuff and telling people the truth, Austin, to have these people call you names and label you like this, is very, very, very grievous to me. And I feel bad for Trump because it's simply not true, son. What do you think?
Well, no, it is. And his foreign policy speech was correct on so many different levels. And he addressed a lot of stuff that nobody has even brought up at all. And so, and then that's the issue, is that he's bringing stuff up that these boys don't want addressed. So the easiest thing to do is label you a racist, label you an anti-Semite, and then try and run a smear campaign on the media and let the globalist media take it over. I mean, the other day, it was, I think 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I had the article before. I don't know where it's at now, though. But California, there was a lawmaker out there. All they were trying to do was make a California John Wayne Day because of late John Wayne, the Duke, you know, from California. It was going to be, I think, like May 26th, which is his birthday. So they brought in an idea. They said, hey, we're one of, you know, this movie icon. This guy was huge. He was born in 1907. You know, he was all through everything. We want to make, you know, a John Wayne Day out here in California. He was so big in the Hollywood movement. And it exploded, it erupted in the most ridiculous, racially charged debate that I've ever read before. And they, you know, automatically starts bringing up this interview from like 1970 where he's talking about blacks and minorities and how they need to be educated in certain areas of work before basically they're promoted or given responsibility. And he goes, I don't believe in being authority in positions of leadership and judgment to people that are irresponsible until they've been trained properly. And see, the thing about it was John Wayne was not politically correct at all. And what he was essentially saying was that is, if somebody doesn't fit the qualifications, if somebody can't handle the job position, if somebody isn't ready to handle whatever problems are going on in this area, they don't need to get the job just because of their minority. There's absolutely no reason to that. And that's all they said. That was the only thing that they kept going on and on about. But, I mean, these were ridiculous. I mean, they're just these slack-jawed, politically correct social justice warriors, and all they want to do is pick on anybody that says anything that they don't agree with, and that's exactly.
Okay. Austin's absolutely right. I was hearing him break up a little bit, so I wasn't sure. At least that's funny. I'm hooked up in Europe, and we lost him in the U.S. But Austin's absolutely right about, you know, the Duke. I mean, I love John Wayne. In fact, Austin was raised on John Wayne movies, and so that's probably why he's standing up so strongly for John Wayne. So let's look at this. Let's look at a couple more articles. This is from Zero Hedge. What happens if everybody pulls their money out of the bank today? For the Zero Hedge, for every dollar that you have in the bank, there is actually $0.00061 available. In other words, there's 6 cents for every $100 of deposits that you have at the bank. And as Mike Mahoney explains in the video that is included with this article from Zero Hedge, we live in an economic system that is made and complicated by design. Basically, it's set up so most people don't even try to understand it. So they're promoting gold. See, that's the thing. You have real dollars. You have to understand something. If you don't have something tangible in your hand with .00, you know, one... You say 6 cents for every $100 you have on deposit. That's the actual number. That's why they want to take us to a digital currency, so they don't have to worry about that anymore. Caterpillar.
I saw an article today on that.
Okay, I'm glad you're back. Caterpillar is closing five more U.S. plants amid low demand. Associated Press: Caterpillar says it will close five more factories, including an Oxford, Mississippi plant, as the Peoria-based, Illinois-based heavy equipment maker reacts to slowing demand for construction of mining equipment worldwide by cutting capacity. The Oxford plant with 240 employees stamping metal hose couplings will continue to work into 2017. You know, what's also happened is this. You know, there are a lot of other heavy manufacturers that are bringing their stuff in from China and everywhere else, and they're avoiding these taxes and these excise taxes, exactly what Trump's talking about, and they're selling a lot of this heavy equipment, and they're competing with our manufacturers here. And that's why Carrier Air Conditioning, who's so spoken badly about moving down to Mexico, this is why they're doing it, because they're having a difficult time in paying $18, $19, $20, $25, $30 an hour with these union wages, or $40 an hour with benefits, when they can get it done in Mexico for $3 an hour, $2 an hour. So it's interesting. Austin, what do you think about that?
It is interesting. That's why we've seen a lot of it. And I saw that article earlier you were talking about, as far as 6 cents for every $100 you have in the bank. And that's why, I mean, you saw silver this morning. It hit $18 an ounce this morning. And then they shorted the market pretty good when New York opened up, dropped about 40 cents an ounce, I think, down to like 1760.
Well, gold,
that's the only viable option right now as far as long term.
Yeah, gold went over 1,300 an ounce this morning, and they shorted it down too.
Yep.
I was wondering how long the Rothschild boys were going to let that go because you know, gold has gone up now for about 10, 20, 10.30 an ounce. A few months ago, when we advised, you know, our listeners that we thought it was a good idea to go buy a little bit of the stuff, and if they had listened to us, they'd had almost a 25% return in like 4 or 5 months. You know, so hopefully they did. And it's still a good value as far as I'm concerned, because there's going to come a point in time when all this fiat currency starts hitting the fan, that it's going to take you $4,000 or $5,000, I believe, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, maybe 4 or 5 months from now, I don't know, to buy an ounce of gold. And it's not because the gold's more valuable. I want to explain that to everybody. It's because the dollar's less valuable. The dollar's less valuable because they printed so many dollars. And see, that's the biggest thing that we have to understand, is that gold is not necessarily an appreciating asset. It's an asset that protects against inflation. It's an asset that holds the value. So if you've been working your whole life, and you're trying to just maintain the value of your money and not lose it, because I've learned a lot of these financial planners, they care more about the commissions they make, and you guys know I'm telling you the truth on that, most of them, not all of them, than they do about you maintaining your value of your assets. See, so gold to me is just a great, great hedge against inflation. And the people in Germany who put their money in 1919, 1920, 1921 into gold, you know, with the Deutsche Mark, the Weimar Republic Mark, they were able to hold on to their assets and hold on to their net worth. And mind you, folks, you know, this whole thing with the petrodollar is all coming apart. And one other thing I did see, Austin, the hotel, the Westin we stayed at in Germany, it used to be a huge, huge, huge place for the Saudi royal family, and they used to have huge amounts of entire floors rented out year-round for the royal families. That's all gone. They're all gone now. Apparently, the oil prices have affected them so much, they're not just going and renting entire hotels anymore. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, back when we saw a lot of that, when I went to Germany with you guys that one time, that's when, you know, gold or oil was pushing up, you know, close to $150 a barrel. And at that point, you know, they don't care about renting out these $8,000 room nights for months on end.
It's just, right.
It's just funny money to them. They're making so much money off the oil that it's a joke. It really is a joke. And now, you know, down to $40 a barrel or wherever we're floating around right now, I haven't checked it lately, you know, it's just not quite as profitable as it used to be, and it's not as much fun to go below, you know, $4 or $5 million a week on hotel rooms. There's another article now that's coming out. This is pretty interesting. This is going to start something that I think is going to almost evolve us to a point. The virtual reality. Now, this is from Naomi Riley. The title of the article is "Virtual Reality Will Completely Transform Our Children into Zombies," and it goes into detail now how these Google, what they're called, these virtual reality goggles and the stuff they're giving out now is going to completely change the way video games, movies, everything's made. And they go into detail in this article about how kids aren't even stimulated by going to the movies and stuff anymore. The movies are just like, yawn, yawn, boring, this isn't very much fun, I want to go home and go play on my Xbox 360 with my 3D goggles and all kinds of other crazy stuff they're doing now. And this virtual reality system is the next step. There's a couple problems with this that nobody's addressing. A, the long-term exposure to your eyes, having an iPhone 4 inches away from your face. If you look at the photos on these things, you mount it on these goggles. You mount your iPhone on the goggles. You put the goggles on your face, and you put headphones on around it. So you're staring at this screen, very, very strongly staring at the screen while you're watching a video game, a movie, whatever you're doing. And they've already shown, multiple studies have shown, computer usage, iPhone usage, all this stuff has been linked to, you know, eye stress, eye strain, blurry vision, headaches, nervousness, all kinds of different side effects using this stuff, staring at these screens for long times. So putting these things right up to your face. And the second thing nobody wants to address is the long-term side effects and cancer risk of having a cell phone literally up to your face. You know, a lot of times people talk on the phone 30, 40, 50 hour on the phone at a time in a conversation. But, you know, kids nowadays will play a video game for 4, 5, 6 hours straight in the living room on a, you know, a console. What happens when these kids start sitting around all day? And not even that, where are we going to go from these virtual reality games? And how are we going to get our children to decipher the difference between what's really going on in reality and what's happening in these virtual reality games? I mean, we've seen the creation of, you know, the PlayStation 3 now with the Xbox One, all this stuff. Now, if you've looked at the gaming, then I played video games when I was younger here and there. And even recently, occasionally, I've played something. It's not anything I'm real big into, but I'm at somebody's house and there's something cool. Usually, first-player shooter games are fun. But I've personally watched, you know, all the way from Nintendo 64 and Game Boy to what we have now with the new Xbox. And it's insane how realistic these video games are. Now we're taking it to another step where you're fully encompassed visually and audibly into this video game. It's a full-blown virtual reality theater in a 3D setting with goggles on your face and headphones on. And I'm afraid that it's really going to have a significant effect on our children long term, because these kids are going to have no idea how to function in society and how to basically differentiate from what's normal, what's abnormal, what's acceptable behavior, what's not acceptable, and what they do in these virtual reality games, because a lot of these video games are extremely violent. There's no question about that. So now putting in this type of level of virtual reality on your face, guys, it's going to have some problems. So I highly suggest you guys don't get involved in this. I don't care if your kids want them for Christmas or not. These will not be something that I'm participating in, nor will I be buying, nor will I be participating and purchase them for my son either. It's just not something we need to go. This is taking it a whole other level too far that I think we need to do a lot more research on the long-term, you know, emotional impact, visual impact, brain chemistry, everything that it's going to do before we just start strapping these on 4 and 5 year olds' heads and let them play on them for half a day.
Okay, you're right. Everything you said is correct, but there's another step that they're trying to do. Yeah. This is the goal. This is the goal to tie us into the artificial intelligence. They want the AI. They want the AI mind in the cloud controlling everybody. They want all of us with brain implants as a hive mind. That's the goal. The hive mind to worship Lucifer. This is what they want. This is what the This is the fallen angel agenda. This is basically what they want to do. It has everything to do with what you had to do, say, but much, much, much deeper than that. This is about creating an artificial world for people to live into that can be controlled. This is about neural implants, cellular implants, central nervous system implants, using
like
the Magellan's bacteria. If that's what, no, they want to hook us in. They want to hook us into a hive mind. This is the goal. This is what, you know, this is what Kurzweil has been saying. I mean, he wants to create this entire fake reality that we can be in and just be here for demonic possession. One physicist that I haven't spoken to, he's over here in Germany. Hopefully I'll meet him this time while I'm here. He basically said that the reason they want so many autistic children is for possession. He says, this is what they use. They use them for hosts. And he said, they use them for photo cell. They steal our photo electrons, our photons. And this is what they use for their energy field and for their food. As Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour. And he said that when the children are basically autistic, they cannot defend themselves against satanic or demon possession. Now, this is where it's all going. Now, you guys think, well, Ted Rohrer, no, he's nuts. Not only is he anti, you know, whatever, and he likes Donald Trump, but now he's talking about this weird stuff. Hey, I'm just telling you, it's weird stuff. This whole thing is weird. I don't even like talking about it because it's so strange. And it's just, but when you dig into this thing, it always goes back to Satanism. Now, Kurzweil wants to put us into a hive mind through the AI into the cloud so that nobody even has to make decisions anymore. Also, they can be told electronically what to do on an ongoing basis. The biggest problem we have with this unemployment mess that we have in the United States and in Europe is the fact that, you know, automation is creating, you know, so many, such a strong replacement for jobs. In other words, you know, if you have a machine that will take the place of 50 people, 50 people just lost their work. And see, and this is what's going on. This is what the guy was saying. They're making all this glass now in China using all these automated machines, and that they can't compete against that because they can put them out so quickly. And they ship it in and say it's all Murano glass, and it's not. So, you know, we're not alone. This entire allowing China to come in and take over the world's economy with manufacturing has not been a godsend. It's been awful. And now the Chinese, basically, they're in a big downturn because nobody wants to buy their junk anymore. And everybody's starting to realize, wait a minute, by buying all the stuff from China, we're putting all of our own people out of work. Let's talk about one other thing real quick. I just got an article in here on black seed oil, B-L-A-C-K, black seed oil. In fact, I just took about 8 capsules of it a few minutes ago to help me get past a little bit of this energy lax that I'm having right now. Well, I heard one person say that he felt that black seed oil was the cure for everything but death. I don't think I go that far. But black seed oil, it's Nigella sativa. These are some of the things that supposedly it does off this one article here. This article was written by, and there is no name on it, by Sarek. She says that basically, also known as cumin or caraway seed, black seed has been used for over 2,000 years and is viewed as a healing wonder, with research suggesting it would be helpful in fighting illnesses of all kinds. It's used a lot by the Egyptians, called it a panacea, and one bottle of it was even found in King Tut's tomb, which I thought was interesting. It's used as a painkiller, antibacterial. By the way, this is great. I had itchy ear canals for years until I started taking black seed oil. It completely stopped it. So if you guys have that, do the black seed oil. You can get it in liquid or capsule at healthmasters.com. The liquid is wicked bad. I'm not being facetious. It's wicked bad. It tastes awful, okay? If you mix it with pomegranate juice, you can take it pretty easily. We also have it in capsule form where you don't taste it, and that's okay. But that's how I recommend it. Healthmasters.com. Anti-ulcer, anti-inflammatory, anti-histamine, anti-cancer, anti-fungal, anti-hypertensive, antioxidant, anti-spasmatic, antiviral, bronchodilator. It's insulin sensitizing, interferon inducer. It says it's a tumor necrosis factor, alpha inhibitor, which means basically they're saying it kills cancer cells by saying that. There are 3 natural phytochemical compounds in black seed oil that produce a tremendous benefit. Phytochemicals in black seed oil help protect against cancer. This goes on and on and on and on. It supports liver health. It causes gradual partial regeneration of pancreas beta cells. I did a report on that on Hagman and Hagman a few months ago. It's the second time I've seen this. Now, I'm going to read you this entire little thing she wrote on this. Black seed oil causes gradual partial regeneration of pancreatic beta cells for type 1 diabetics. Increased lowered serum insulin concentrations that decreases the elevated serum glucose, according to an article in the Journal of Endocrinology and Metabolism. The research on mice suggests that diabetics could experience support whether they have type 1 or type 2 diabetes. I'd have to see the research on the type 1 before I'd believe that. In another study, 2 grams of black seed a day result in reduced fasting glucose, reduced or decreased insulin resistance. Black seed oil may aid in weight loss. Black seed oil can combat resistant staphylococcus, you know, this staph infections. It helps with lower blood pressure. This thing goes on and on. It guards against respiratory ailments, helps promote and recover from drug addiction. So it's a product that I take every day. When I'm at home, I just cut it with the pomegranate juice. On the road, I'm not going to do all that. So I just take the capsules, available at healthmasters.com. And we also have a newsletter you can sign up for free of charge. And thank you guys for supporting us. We appreciate it. You know, we're out here telling you this stuff, and trust me, some of the stuff we don't want to talk about either. Okay, a bunch of it. But somebody's got to be talking about it. We can't pretend like it's not happening anymore, Austin. Well, what's your next story?
No, we can't, and that's the biggest thing that people have to understand now is it's not hate speech. It's not being an anti-Semite. It's none of this, because you're speaking the truth. Everybody's got to get past this whole political correct nonsense about getting offended because somebody speaks the truth. We have to get past this if we want to make America what it used to be, to make it great again, as Trump likes to say. You know, we all have to understand that that's the whole point of our First Amendment, is you can say what you want. If you don't like it, that's fine. I don't have to like what you say. You don't have to like what I say, but that's the freedom of it. And everybody's got to get past this whole, I get offended by every little comment that anybody makes because they're, what's the term now? They're making a microaggression towards me. I don't even know what that means, a microaggression. I mean, I know what a macroaggression is. I can show you one of those real
awesome.
Quick. Microaggression? I'm like, I don't even know what that's supposed to be referring to. That just sounds like some really, really, yeah, I'm not even going to go there. But one thing with black seed oil, I was going to mention too, we're having a lot of customers call me back and say that the black seed oil and another product we have called Candicinal, both of those together are helping out almost completely eliminating any issues with yeast infections, with yeast overgrowth, with candida. Just those two products by themselves, I'd be getting a lot of feedback on via email and phone calls at the office. Now, again, everybody responds differently to stuff. Everybody takes different dosages. But the black seed oil in a pretty high dosage and also the cannabidiol seems to be helping out a lot with that, primarily because a lot of people see this because of eating too much sugar and too much carbohydrates. That's really what it comes down to.
That's right.
So I'm not saying these two products are there so you can, you know, just gorge on carbs all day. But if you have had an issue with yeast or candida, I would highly recommend trying those two products out because I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on them. The cannabidiol by itself used to work pretty decent, but when we coupled it with the black seed oil, those two together, it just has a synergistic effect that almost just it completely knocks out yeast in the body. So I would recommend that to anybody that's got a problem with that or you know a family member that has a problem with that, getting that form as a gift or a present and helping them out. That's something that's rough to deal with.
No, it is. It's absolutely horrible to deal with. I mean, I think that's what was going on with my ear canals. I think I had some kind of fungal infection in them because the black seed oil was one thing that took it out. In fact, when I read the article a couple of years ago, it said it was a cure for everything but death. I thought, God, maybe it'll get rid of these stupid itchy ear canals. And it did. It did. Yeah, I thought, well, if it'll get rid of that, it'll make a believer out of me. And it did. It took care of it. So I thought that was a really, 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 really good product. Here's another article. Zero Hedge. This is great. Oil's latest casualty. Saudi Bin Laden Group. You know, this is like, you know, Osama Bin Laden, those guys. Fires 50,000 people, a quarter of its workforce. That's huge, by the way. Maybe that's why they're not renting out the whole Westin anymore. And the latest clear sign that low oil prices are taking their indirect toll, not only on the U.S. shale sector. On Friday, Saudi newspaper Awaken reported that the multinational construction conglomerate Saudi Bin Laden Group, which was funded in 1931 by the Sheikh Mohammed Bin Laden, father of Osama Bin Laden, who's basically allowed to fly out of the United States with his entire family on 9/11, was removed as a shareholder in the business in 1993, and this owned by the family, IBM, whatever, nobody believes that, has laid off 50,000 staff as pressure on the industry rises amid government spending cuts to survive an era of cheap oil. This means that Bin Laden, whose total workforce is around 200,000, just fired a quarter of his total staff. Reuters ad citing at Waltham's unnamed sources that the group has terminated the contracts of 50,000. You know, it's interesting, too, because one of the articles that I read a few years ago said that they're going to take the Saudis down. The United States and the CIA are planning on taking the Saudis down and basically seizing their assets, which that means that'd be the Rothschild Bank going in there and doing that again. So that's what's going on. I mean, so they're going to try to take this entire house of Saud out. I really believe that. I read that article a couple of years ago, and I thought, well, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry, I think that's going to be something that they're going to do, Austin, because remember, these international bankers, they want everybody's stuff, and they want the Saudi oil stuff. They want everything. Remember, these guys, they want it all. They want complete and total global dominance through money. That's what they want. Now, this is something I don't really understand because I haven't been over there also. This is that Cruz has poached nearly all of Arizona delegates despite Trump's winning Arizona. How the heck did that happen since I left? I don't even understand.
To be honest, I'm not sure. I saw that article earlier today. Cruz is just, I mean, you know, they're going to try and do everything they can. We talked about it before, to try and steal delegates. Whatever underhanded, slimy, greaseball tactics he's going to use, he's going to use. The man kind of looks like a pedophile. I mean, that's just the honest truth. So you can't be really surprised at how much, you know, what lengths he goes to try and prevent Trump. But I don't think it really matters anymore, to be honest with you. I think Trump's still going to end up smoking him. I think that's just the fact, and they're so scared of that is what's going on. Also, too, I wanted to address kidney stones real quick. A lot of people, I've been getting a lot of emails on that as well, and one of the biggest things you guys need to make sure you're looking out for is sodas. Sodas are massively, massively, massively increase your risk of kidney stones. They almost directly cause it. One of the biggest aspects in it is the high fructose corn syrup, which the fructose in it increases excretion of calcium and uric acid, which contribute to stone formation. Also, too, the phosphoric acid in the sodas also cause that. So that's one thing to be on the lookout for, guys, because I've been getting a lot of emails, people emailing me about kidney stones, and a large portion of them are always soda drinkers, or they have, or they continue to, or they're trying to reduce it. But that's definitely something you need to look out for if you're having issues with kidney stones, because it seems to be a prevalent issue a lot lately. any other tips on that, Dad, that'd be good for people? I know, obviously, distilled water is super important.
Well, the whole thing, you see, you can't be drinking phosphoric acid in the sodas. I mean, it dissolves calcium. And so when you start dissolving calcium, you start having all this free calcium getting into your blood and giving you kidney stones. Plus, it causes a massive increase in osteoporotic fractures and tooth loss and bone loss. I mean, see, don't be doing that. Here's an article. Green Beret who beat an Afghan child molester will get to keep his job. I'm so glad this guy beat the crap out of this guy. When Sergeant First Class Charles Martland learned that a young boy had been raped repeatedly by a powerful Afghan police commander, who had been trained by the U.S. military, by the way, the Afghan police commander, he knew he had to do something. The higher-ups encouraged him to let it go, saying it was just part of the culture in Afghanistan. They liked to rape little boys, and that the local authorities could handle it. Instead, the sergeant and his team leader, Daniel Quinn, approached the police commander and physically attacked him after he admitted to the rape and laughed about what he had done to the boy. Martland and his team leader were then removed from their post and eventually reprimanded for their actions. Quinn left the Army, but Martland never stopped fighting his discharge, and it seems he finally won. On Thursday, the Army reversed its decision to discharge Martland, according to the Army spokesman. In his case, the Army Board of Correction of Military Records determined to modify a portion of one of his evaluation reports and removed him from the QMP list, whatever that means, which will allow him to remain in the Army. So I find that interesting. This guy's raping this little boy. These two boys come in there and beat the holy living crap out of him, is what they did. And one of them had to get thrown out and quits the military because of what happened, and the other guy wants to get kicked out. And this guy who raped the little boy laughed about it. And they decided they didn't want to hear him laugh about it anymore. Guys, let me tell you something. A pedophile is about as low a scum as you're going to get on this planet. Somebody who would rape little children. I personally think they should have taken him out back and strung him up by the neck until dead if he admitted to doing this. And they say, oh, that's terrible, Ted. You shouldn't say it. I'm telling you. That's what I think should have been done to this boy. He should have been taken out back, should have put a rope over a tree, and they should have lynched his sorry butt. And they could let the boy's family watch. I mean, to me, this is the lowest form of just disgust and filth that you could do to somebody is to rape a child. And I loathe people that think about do stuff. And I know a lot of the guys who are homosexual who've taken that lifestyle, they were raped by pedophiles when they were young. And it brought them into that lifestyle. And they'll tell you, if you ask them, they'll tell you they were sodomized or raped by a pedophile when they were like 8, 9, 10, 11. What is that? They have that North American Men with Boys organization, I think it's NAMBA, and their motto is sex before 8 or it's too late. Now you think, I'm joking you? I'm not joking you. These guys are all over the place in the United States. The culture is breeding it, and it's one of the most filthiest, most disgusting things, one of the most vile things that a human being can do to a child. I don't even know what to say, Austin. How do you feel about all that?
No, it is. It's pretty sick. I mean, and there's so much sexual ritual, just Satanism behind it too. That's why they do it in so many of their practices. But no, it's definitely it needs to be old school with that. There shouldn't even be. I mean, it should be a death penalty. There really shouldn't even be other question for that. What's interesting too is you talk to a lot of people that I've referred to and heard that have seen those guys when they go to prison, and they'll get 10 or 20 years or something, 5 years, some joke sentence. They usually never make it out of prison. They're usually killed within the first couple of weeks they get there by the rest of the inmates, because even the guys in prison that are there for life in prison and all kinds of other charges, to them, that is still pretty much the most egregious thing you can do. And when you come to prison for that, your time's pretty much numbered there. And I've heard that from multiple people before.
Wow. But yeah, it's almost you just talk about it for 5 minutes, you feel like you got to take a shower. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's so awful that people do all of that and do all that.
Yeah.
I really don't understand, what's going on. Now, some new state orders out of Colorado now, they're requiring that you register all of your unvaccinated children with the state. I thought that was interesting. I guess they're going to have a little list of people. Colorado has turned into this giant liberal cesspool. It used to not be like that. I got a feeling the people that are living there that don't want this anymore because of all the Californians, by the way. The Californians invaded that state. Now it's super, super liberal. They got all kinds of no gun zones and everything else. That's what happened a few years ago. Remember that movie theater? There was a no gun zone. Can't have guns there. And it's sad. It really, really is. And by the way, guys, if you ever come to my office at Health Master and you have a concealed weapons permit, you are more than welcome to carry a gun in there, as all of us have guns. It's just what it is. And we encourage you to exercise your Second Amendment rights if you ever visit us in our office. Just keep it holstered or keep it in your pocket. Keep it where it is. Don't start waving it around. We don't deal with that real well either. That's going to be a mistake if you do that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. No criminal.
Well, one last thing involving guns to close up for today. President Obama is now pushing even harder for the adoption of so-called smart gun technology, that he wants to eventually limit the use of firearms to its owner. A lot of different restrictions, and basically he's trying to give funds and grants to somebody who comes up with the most effective way and use for this. The administration will also be offering cash prizes and grants to gun manufacturers to spur the development of the technology, which is intended to make a gun useless if someone other than the owner tries to fire it. Obama wrote in another letter, as long as we've got the technology to prevent a criminal from stealing and using your smartphone, then we should be able to prevent the wrong person from pulling a trigger on a gun. That's one of the most bizarre statements I've ever heard. First off, comparing an iPhone to a firearm is just idiotic. I mean, that's what that is, plain and simple. Secondly, this has nothing to do with preventing people from using guns, preventing criminals from using guns. This is all about being able to electronically and remotely control people's firearms in the event that they want to do so, or any individual that they seem as a security threat or an enemy of the state. That's what all that comes down to. And the problem is firearms now are one of the last true weapons, I guess you could say, that are not electronically controlled, and they cannot be really tracked, traced, or manipulated through any type of electronic means. That's why they're trying to go after them. Regardless of that, saying that it can only be used by the owner, what happens if I'm out of town and my gun's under my nightstand drawer and somebody breaks into my house, my wife grabs my gun, and I forgot to recalibrate it for her settings? Now she can't even use the gun that's in the house because it was set for me. It's just stupid. There's so many stupid logical things that they're trying to do about that, that there really is no logic to it. So I thought I would address that too.
That's a great evaluation. Exactly right. Spot on point. Everything really good. Guys, thanks. Thanks for being patient with me getting back. I'll try to do as many shows as I can the rest of the week, and to keep Austin from having to run solo. It's a lot easier when you have somebody to bounce things off on. And guys, again, thank you so much for supporting us, and thank you for giving me the leeway to burn up some Starwood points and get some hotels over in Europe. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And thanks for supporting Health Masters. God bless you guys.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate it. If you need anything, just give us a call or email us. As always, we're here. We're getting most of our orders out this week. We did get a little backlog last week. Hopefully, we should have the Purple Sticks back in stock by next week. So if you guys need anything, again, like you said, give us a call. Shoot us an email. We're here to help. That's what we're here for. Also, to the Testo Plus. I'm going to send an email about that on today. The Testo Plus is back in stock. We just got a huge shipment of it today. We had it rushed in as quick as we could. We've been working on it diligently to get that formula done. So we do have Testo Plus in stock. So everybody that has a back order of Testo Plus, thank you for your patience. Thank you for waiting. We're getting them all prepped today and tomorrow. And so you should have them probably by no later than the end of the week. So anything else like that, you know, just give us a call. But, again, we appreciate your patience on there. And whenever you guys need, just give us a call. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. And we'll be back on tomorrow from 3 to 4, same time as always. And hopefully I'll have Dad back on here again. You guys have a blessed night.